Hello, hello. Good morning, everybody. Good to see a few of you up and at it. There's Sunny. We've got Brendan and Jeff as well. Good morning, guys. Great to have you here on the Morning Wealth Coffee Chat show. Great to see you, Jeff, as always. Brendan, regular as well. Great to have you here, folks. Thanks for joining. As things warm up, we'll just do the quick intros as we tend to do. If you don't already know, most of you know already, though, Jason Witten's my name. These days, Facebook doesn't do the live anymore, sharing the live, unfortunately. So if you are on somewhere else, one of the groups, or in Facebook, the alert or the notification isn't automatic anymore into the group. So a bit of a bummer, but if you're there, great to have you. Might be easier these days to go to YouTube, sadly. YouTube's pretty good anyway. Subscribe to Positive Real Estate TV, folks, and you'll get the notifications. But inside the groups, not doing it. Anyway, you get the gist. Good to see you here. Thanks for joining, folks. Wealth Coffee Chats away and underway. Bunty, good morning to you. Great to have you here. If you're new, or you've just joined our mentoring and coaching program, a big welcome to you. Let us know in the chat. Say hello. Let us know where you are, what you're up to. Be great to hear from you. Get a little bit of banter and conversations going for this morning's conversation. We've been doing these Wealth Coffee Chats for a little while now. Some of you have been around with me for a bit, and some of you might be new, but you know, why do we do these things? Well, folks, we want to stay on track, don't we? The idea that property investing takes a bit of time, takes time to create and build a property portfolio that is going to create wealth and income for you. And, you know, often there's lots of information flying at us from sources that are, let's say, less than experienced and reputable. They do have reputations, but I think people misunderstand the quality of that reputation for making decisions when it comes to investing. You know, don't make a decision based on some opinion in the newspaper. Anyway, that's not what today's conversation is about. Don't get ranty today, Jason. Stay on track. Anyway, we want to keep an eye on the facts from the fear, folks. That is certainly 90% of the game of investing. You've got to keep your mind on track. You've got to keep your eye on the prize. You know, it takes a little bit of support to do that. So that's what the show is all about. Evening to you, Kevin, all the way from Florida. It's morning here. Great to have you on the show. There you go. Well, let's get into it today, folks. What I want to talk about today is how you create income streams from property. Now, property investors, you know, and that's probably not you on the show, but most property investors only understand two ways of creating income and, you know, how can we, you know, make our properties earn more money for ourselves in the future as we go along. Now, you know, there's lots of ideas and, you know, there's three really simple, straightforward strategy conversations that I want to have with you guys today about this sort of stuff. So let's have a look at what that might be and, you know, see if we can't learn a little bit more, understand our strategy when it comes to the idea of our properties and creating more income. All right, well, let's get you guys involved in the chat. If you're sitting there at home, I can see some of the chats popping through and maybe I can see it on my Facebook. Oh, there's Luke. Hey Luke, you're over on my my personal page, which is great. So good morning to you, Luke. Great to have you here. Unfortunately, you're not coming through in my other software, but you're there. So fantastic, wonderful, great to have you there, Luke. And if anyone else is putting a comment in the chat and I didn't see it, it's because you're behind the veil in Facebook and they're not pushing it through. Anyway, there you go. So let's see it, folks, in the chat. What are the three ways you can create income? How do you get an income, like cash, out of your residential real estate portfolio? What are the three ways that can happen? and put it in the chat for me right now. There are three ways. The most obvious one, there's a very obvious one, which is what most of us understand. Hey, morning, Cole. Good to see you there. What most of us do understand, the number one thing that we all know about getting our income from real estate is from our rents, right? Good morning, Sonia. Capital gains. Morning, Sonia. There you go. Hello, hello. yeah, that's true, Brendan, isn't it? Jeff is on that. So rent. Okay, perfect, Jeff. Now, today I'm talking specifically income or a way we can create income. But definitely for Jeff, you got your rents, you got your tax back, okay, and capital gain. Now, do we create an income out of our capital gain? Well, by default, we do. And I want to talk about that as the third one. And I call it a little something else, capital gain. If you sell your properties to liquidate a property to gain access to that cash, folks, let's say you your property went up in value and you sold and you made a capital gain, what are you going to do? Brendan's talking about it before here in the little chat, just add tax, aka theft. Don't get me started on that one this morning, Brendan. I'll be off track for 20 minutes. But yeah, you're dead right. Okay, let's get back to this. Jeff said capital gains. It's pretty close. Well, it's using the capital gain. What are we going to use? How do we use a capital gain? Or more particularly, what are we using to create an income in there, folks? So first, you get the rent. That's pretty straightforward. Second, you get your tax back. Now, for most of us, we need to understand this. Rents come in usually weekly, and depending on how you get paid from your property manager, you'll usually get that either fortnightly or monthly, all right? Now, over here on the tax back, what do we do with our income, so fortnight or month? Over here with our tax back, what do most people do? You're right. You're dead right, Cole. Equity, Sonia. Yes, tax back is from depreciation, right? So, getting that money back. If we were earning $100,000 and we had to pay the government $25,000 tax for the year for our income, depreciation, particularly specifically, gives us the ability to pay less tax. We can get the tax back or not pay it at all. What is that called when we use depreciation and our expenses? As we go, when it comes to keeping more money in our pocket or getting our tax back, does anyone know what it's called? Put it in the chat for me. There's a thing and there's a way to get it. Anyway, I'm trying not to give away the answer this morning. So we use negative gearing. Even if your property is positive cash flow, you still can negative gear the property. And this is where magic. I love it, Sonia. This is where most of us I don't understand the languaging in here. There's positive cash flow. There's negative cash flow, and there's negative gearing on both. And if you negative gear, which means your expenses on the property are then able to be deducted from your personal income tax as an offset, then you can negative gear, whether the thing is positive cash flow or negative cash flow. You can use all of those deductions and offsets. Now, the net result is if it's positive cash flow, then you end up paying tax anyway. If it's negative cash flow, you might get some tax back, or if it's neutral, it depends on how it goes. Anyway, I've done a wealth coffee chat on that one. I won't do that today. I'll stay on track. But you're dead right, Sonia. Depreciation, you get your tax back, right? It's called a PAYG for us in the world of careers or jobs. a PAYG variation. So folks, you claim your tax back every fortnight, weekly, or monthly when it comes to your income. So you get your rents every week. Let's just say this, you get paid weekly. You get your rents every week. You get your tax back every week, right? So now you've got two income streams coming into your pocket. Now those two income streams go towards paying for the property, and if there's other money left over, then it goes towards bad debt reduction. And then the third one is exactly right when Jeff was saying, hey, capital gains, and more particularly when it comes to using the equity, and I call it, in a strange way, equity arbitrage. Now, I think that's how you spell arbitrage. Equity arbitrage. What does that mean, Jason? Come on. Like, making up a fancy word, let's explain it properly. Now, the third income stream, folks, the third income stream is where the wealthy use equity in a very smart way to really accelerate wealth significantly. So let's have a look at that. We've talked about this before, but this is a really interesting concept and idea, right? And everyone should understand how to do this into the future in their real estate. So let's say we'll just use one property here, and let's say you buy this property for 700K, and I'll use the calculator in a minute, and let's say over a 10-year period, that property goes from 700K to $1 million, right? And it's worth $1 million. Now your debt over here, let's say when you first started was 650, and now over here it might be, I don't know, 600. You may not have paid a lot of it off. You might have had 5 years interest only, like we suggest you do for your cash flow if you're in acquisition. So, you know, what's the situation here? How do you, you know, you've owned this property for 10 years. It's gone up 300 grand. You're happy with that. That's nothing to sneeze at. You know, your rent's probably up at about, you know, $800 a week. Away you go. How can you accelerate this, you know, over here? Now, you know, let's just have a look at your property. You've got $200,000 over here in the property now, accessible equity, okay? Okay, accessible equity. We always, as investors, we have to make sure we have access to our equity. I was having a conversation with a lady yesterday, and she's a bit later in life, and she's like, you know, I'm about to retire in about 3 to 5 years' time, depending on how things go. You know, she's rearranging some of her financial situation, and she's like, I've got heaps of cash. I'll just pay off that debt, right? Now, here's what I said to her. I said, listen, paying off the debt and being debt-free does not give you access to the value of that real estate, right? When you're older and you have no job, folks, tell me in the chat, when you're 55 or 60, you don't have a job and you're debt-free, if you own a property for $1 million and you've got no debt on it and it's your owner-occupier home and you don't have a job, how much money can you borrow against you? You're worth $1 million. You're a millionaire. How much money can you borrow when you're 60 and you've got your home paid off and you live there? It's your owner occupier. Tell me in the chat, how much can you borrow? Zero, Mick. Zero. Folks, this is the biggest mental block I have with coaching my clients. Nothing, Sonia. You got to understand the difference between bad debt and good debt and access to debt, right? Now, you know, there's this fear and ignorance about debt. You know, having a credit card, stupid, get off it. It's dumb, right? It destroys your ability to borrow. Having a loan against all of your assets, maximize your lending so you can use it for income generation in the future. If you're 70 and you've got access to $2 million of lending, you don't have to ask for. It's smart. Now, a lot of people carry on like pork chops and going, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Listen, at the end of the day, I've met so many people who are older in life, asset rich, cash flow poor, cannot even buy me a coffee, right? And you know what they do? What happens? They're forced to sell the thing that they want to live in to get access to the cash, okay? Or do these hideous reverse mortgages, which are just disgusting, all right? So anyway, again, I'm getting distracted here, right? So we take this 200K, folks. So your property now is earning 800. You know, along the way, you've been earning money from the rent and the tax deductions, and now you're going to do what's called equity arbitrage. You create some more equity out of this. Now, what can you do with that? What can you do with that equity? Well, you could go and buy another property. No problem. You could use that equity to purchase a second, a third, a fourth, or fifth property. But let's say we were wanting to accelerate our income here. What are the things you can do? Now, you can use that property to invest in some other things. Now, an example is, use an example of what I do, all right? I'll use my example. I take $200,000 out of my investment property and I put it into some investments that are making me 15% cash on cash return year on year on my cash, okay? Now I'm getting 15%. Sometimes I'm even getting 30%, folks, but let's just say 15%. Yeah, that's right, Nick, some JVs, right? 200K, 15, so I'm making an extra $30,000 a year, 30K in my property. So I'm doing $800 a week. Let's do the math on this. Just have a little look. 800 times 52 is 41,600. Okay. Now, over here, let's add the $30,000 a year, the 30K, right, plus 30. Equals $71,000, right? So now my property is generating $71,600. Divide that by 52 is my $600,000 mortgage is now creating, it's $800,000 mortgage because you got the 200 out here, is now creating $1,376 of income per week, okay? So that's the rough concept, all right? So we're doing some ideas mathematically today, right? This is what happens. When you have your property portfolio, the number of properties, and you don't have to wait to the end, right, folks? You're like, you know, when you're building your property portfolio and your property values are going up, right, and your, you know, over time, your debts are going down. And then, you know, hey, listen, you know, slowly but surely, your rents are going up too. At some point over here, you know, some of your properties will have the ability to unlock that equity. And yes, let's say if you unlock that 200,000, you've got a cost, right? So 200,000 is going to cost you, let's say, 6% a year in interest, and you're going to make 15, so you're net 9 or whatever, you know, or you're gross 9 and you've got to pay some taxes and offset some depreciation and whatever. However, it's called equity arbitrage. If you left it in the property itself, the return on the equity is a bit lower. If you accelerated it a bit, then the return becomes higher, okay? And that's the concept. You can generate 3 lots of income from your properties when you use it in a certain way. Awesome. Good question, Brendan. So just to clarify there, Brendan, just quickly, value you would use. Okay, so I've got 2 rules in my world. So number one, when it comes to over here, and me and my family, we use the 1% rule. So no more than 1% of our equity, access to our equity over here, will we use for personal stuff every year. Okay, so 1%. So as your portfolio grows and having access to that equity, it is 100% perfectly fine to use some of that equity for personal stuff, holidays, buying something cool, et cetera, right? So there's nothing wrong with using that equity. I have a rule. This is my rule. No more than 1% per year. You do the math, it's very easy. 1% a year, you know, capital growth is 2 or 3%. You won't eat your equity alive. But I always say out here as well that you want to have at least 2 million in equity, you know, in your portfolio. Your debt's 3 mil and your portfolio is worth 5 before you start using equity. But anyway, there's some rough rules in there. So I don't know if that was the question, Brendan, you're asking, or how much would I, out of my portfolio, how much would I put to work in equity arbitrage? Maybe that's the question you're using, all right? So for me, this is my rules, no more than 20%, no more than 20%, no more than 20% of my portfolio value would I put into equity arbitrage, okay? No more than 20%. So 10 to 15% is probably a nice thing. You don't want to be overexposed in higher risk investment processes, all right? Or think of it this way, Brendan, or anyone else listening in. If you were to lose this $200,000, if that 200 grand was gone, it was over, you put it into Bitcoin and Bitcoin went to zero, you know, you did a deal with a mate to start a business and that business shit itself. You put it in a JV property development and it tanked. If you were to lose that money, It would be annoying. It would hurt. It'd be emotionally bummer. But it would not affect the majority of your wealth. Okay, so it wouldn't affect your life. In essence, you still own the property. You still own the property. It can still pay for itself. You're still happy to keep it. But you dusted some money. And, you know, that's the way it is, and it continues to grow and stuff like that. So, oh, thanks, Brendan. Yeah. Awesome. Anyway, there you go, folks. Lots in there, but I really like this. You know, property pays multiple ways, and in the beginning it's rent and tax deductions, and over time you get to use that equity arbitrage for acceleration of income strategies into the future as you go. So there you go. Anyway. Hopefully that was useful today, folks. That's it from me. I was going to use the cash flow calculator, but don't need to. I've gone over today. Anyway, join us again tomorrow. Tomorrow is finance day. The team from Positive Money are going to be talking about finance tomorrow. So join them on a finance chat and ask them your finance questions tomorrow. But there you go, folks. Great to see you. Hope you're well. Hope you're having a good Thursday. And yeah, see you on Monday. I'll be back Monday. Brad from Positive Money will be on tomorrow. Enjoy your weekend, folks. There you go. All right, that's it from me. See you, folks. Thanks for joining. Bye for now.